Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel. Turn your mining hat light on and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to look at two encounters of the God kind. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious God, we are so grateful for our time together, so grateful for the scriptures that continue to encourage us, continue to inspire us, continue to challenge us, continue to let us see ourselves as we are and as you wish us to be. Open those scriptures to us again today and open us to those scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, I believe this will be on a holiday and a new month. We're starting actually a new season. And hopefully you will enjoy this. This is, again, one of my faves. Last time I did a fave, and this one is too. And in a lot of ways, they're similar. We spent some time in Genesis, and we talked about change. We talked about the change that occurs in a man or a woman as they develop into the calling that God has for them, that it's not just the calling, but it's the character, it's the nature, it is the development of us. And so we're going to look at something very, very similar about two encounters of the God kind. And so again, we'll talk Genesis, a recap for those who may be missed, but you'll hear me go through it over and over and over. Why I love the book of Genesis, as I always say, everybody can find it. Nobody has any trouble locating the book of Genesis. Genesis, as we refer to it, the title that's in all of our books, is not actually what the title was, because Genesis is a Greek word which means origins. And of course, the book of Genesis does talk about origins, but it talks about much more than that. It talks about firsts, F-I-R-S-T-S. It's not just things that occurred in chronological order, but also occur in order of significance, important things. And so in Genesis, you will see what I believe is the blueprint for almost all spiritual principles of any note or worth. There's the whole scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, and so much stuff, material outside, have so much spiritual value. But I truly believe that there are a handful of things that God emphasizes as the rock bed of important spiritual principles. For example, the promise of the deliverer, the redeemer, the transformer, the Messiah was in Genesis. So many things occur in Genesis, and then you see them lived out through through the scriptures, etc. So we're going to look in Genesis again at two encounters, the same man with two very, very different encounters. So he has one encounter and then he has another encounter. So I'm going to stop here for just a moment and change gears, because of course this is written in Hebrew, but I want us to understand just a couple of little Greek words that help you. And you should know these kinds of things just add depth to the scriptures whenever you know them and utilize them. You don't have to be a Greek scholar. If you get yourself a good interlinear, and I emphasize good, if you get yourself a good concordance and lexicon, they will help you find the differences. So we're going to use a simple word, other. You say you have one and then you have another. In the Greek, of course, as in everything, it seems with the Greek, there's more than one word for other. Okay. One word, allos, means one, another one of the same kind, and, of a different kind, and allos, which is one, another one of the same kind, and heteros, which is one of a different kind. Obviously, you will understand heterosexual. You have sex with somebody of a different kind than you. Allos and heteros, let's use it how you may understand it. I may say to you, go to the nursery and you bought me this beautiful rose bush. Go buy me another bush. All right? So you may say, oh, another one. So I'm going to go get another flowering rose bush because it's one, another one of what you had bought. But if I said to you, oh, this is a beautiful flowering rose bush, go buy me an other one. And you may say, oh, okay, she wants a bush, a flowering bush of another kind, a different kind entirely. And so you may bring me, you know, something else. You may bring me a cotton Easter, or you may bring me, you know, any number of flowering bushes, so that it is one and there is an other one, one of the same kind and one of a different kind. And so a lot of times that becomes significant in the scriptures. It's not one of those things that are going to get you unsaved. You aren't going to heaven. However, it makes a difference in our understanding of the scriptures. So we do want to look at these places in the scripture, but I also want you to learn the principles so that you on your own can dig in anytime and find these nuggets. Okay? So what we're going to look at is a man who has an encounter, and then he has another encounter, and that be of a different kind. Many times we have encounters and we look at God and we say we want another encounter, and what we want is one just like we had. And so when it comes differently, sometimes we scratch our head and say, well, that one can't be God because it's not the same. Well, it's another kind of encounter. And there are times that God has different kinds for different occasions. So we're going to look at a man early in his life and later in his life. He has two profound encounters with God, and they both are very, very well-known stories. And, of course, each one of them can be looked at on their own, and we might do that sometime down the road. Right now what I'm doing is I want to compare them so you see two encounters of a different kind and what that speaks of the man. Remember last time we were looking at men and women who change their character, they develop their character from earlier to later. Well, that surely should be the true story of all of us. Yes, we lose sometimes the zeal or the enthusiasm or the craziness when we were young, but we should also gain wisdom and perspective and compassion and empathy. Some people go the other direction. Remember, we've looked at Isaac, who in his youth did so many great things that even superseded his father, but later he became just self-serving. He wanted to bless Esau because Esau fed him. And so there started to be conflict between Esau and Jacob. Now, we all know that Jacob, of course, does some kind of underhanded things. His name means usurper. He's kind of twisted. He would have been a good politician. He wheedles things and he does what he needs to do to get his way. That's basically what his name means. And we all are appalled at what he did to get the birthright from Esau. Well, the reality is that God always wanted him blessed. God always meant him to be the lineage descendant from his father, Isaac. However, it took a while. And sometimes when people meddle trying to bring about their will, they can even frustrate the will of God, which is what basically Isaac did. I think we covered it sometime back there. You can look that up in the archives. That's a good background for that. So today we're looking at Joseph and... I'm sorry. Jacob. We're looking at Jacob, and Jacob has two encounters with God. Jacob has a whole lot of Genesis tells the story of Jacob. Joseph many times becomes the image, the pattern, the forerunner of Jesus. A lot of ways I feel Jacob is the pattern or the forerunner of us. We're blessed of God from the beginning. We have a good heart, but we kind of keep messing up from time to time, don't we? But God loves us anyway. Anyway, so we're looking at Jacob and his first encounter. We will remember, and he may have had more than that. I'm just talking the two documented encounters with God, and that's what we're going to look at, two encounters of the God kind. The first one is, remember, he has stolen the birthright. Now, not the blessing, but the birthright. He stole the birthright. He ran away. His mom packed him a knapsack and said, "You better get out of here because your brother's going to do you harm." And so he was on the run, wasn't he? So we're going to find, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 28. Let's go down to 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Verse 11, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for a pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. Well, it's not a great night for him. He is alone. He's kind of an exile from his family. He has done wrong and alienated his brother. His parents said, "You better just kind of pack up and get out of here." And so he's alone. He's alienated, disgraced, it may be. And he's there, and it's night, so it's dark. You know, that often stands for those places when we feel like it's nighttime. Sometimes our nights can last a long time, can't they? And it's time to sleep, and he lighted on a place, and it was rocky. It was a hard place to sleep. We have often gotten ourselves in a hard place, haven't we? So that he had to use a stone for a pillow. That's a rocky place. It was dark. It was rocky. He was alone. And in some ways, he's there out of his own behaviors, isn't he? And what I love is, in this place, God doesn't just reward us. "You've done well. Good for you. I'll be with you because you're just such a sterling child." Remember the grump about the other son of the of the prodigal. And I think they were both prodigal, but in different ways. One was prodigal of heart and one was prodigal of feet. Anyway, they both were prodigal of heart. But the one, when his brother came back, grumped and said, I've been here all along and you never did this for me. And it's, we a lot of times think that we should be rewarded for just being where we should be and doing what we should be doing. But what I love about this is Jacob has headed out. He's in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing with the wrong people for the wrong reasons. So he's all alone. It's dark, and it's a rocky, hard place to make a bed. We've been there. What I love is God does not come. God does not chastise him. God does not rebuke him or reprove him. Remember, I have said to you before, I believe the error had been on Isaac's side. And had Isaac been shrewd enough to understand what God wanted for his two sons, that even though the birthright belonged to Esau, the blessing belonged to Jacob. And if he had not done that, perhaps Jacob wouldn't have found himself out there. One of my favorite scriptures of Jesus in the Gospels is when he heals the man born blind, and everybody else rejects him and puts him out, and he's isolated, and he's he's been shunned, and he's out on the street by himself, no place, nobody will take him in. And it says that Jesus found the man. So much of the Gospels is about people finding Jesus and begging for a healing or a prayer or come to my house or speak the word. But Jesus went and found the man. When this young man, Jacob, is at his lowest point, God went and found him in that dark, rocky, lonely place. So today, if you're in a dark, rocky, lonely place, know that God is looking for you. So he found him, and he dreamed a dream. And in this dream, verse 12, behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood above it and said, I'm the Lord of Abraham, thy father, and Jacob, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, I will give to thee. At his lowest point, he said, I'm going to give you this land. Verse 14 says, and, you know, it talks about his progeny. And he says, to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, all the families are blessed in you. Verse 15, he then says, I'm with thee and I will keep thee and I'll never leave thee. So he's making some very, 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 very pure, big promises. Number one, I'll give you the land and to you and your seed. Number two, your seed will cover the earth, north, south, east, west. Number three, I'll be with you, keep you, never leave you. There's three in that one, with you, keep you, never leave you. So that makes it complete. His presence will always be with him. That's pretty great comfort in your darkest night, your loneliest night, your scariest night, isn't it? That's why I love God. And Jacob awaked, verse 16, out of his sleep, and he said, I love this line, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. That's where we are most of the time. We're always seeking God, but what we don't realize is God is in that place, in that lonely place, in that dark place, in that hard place. He's there. We just didn't know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. So he took the stones that he had been using as pillows, made them a pillar, and he poured oil on them. There's so much we could preach about that, couldn't we? And he called the name of the place Bethel. And so we see this first encounter. I'm not saying there weren't other encounters, but this profound encounter at the beginning of his individual ministry. Up until now, he'd had his mother and his father as his advisor, etc. But the first night he's on his own, God comes to him and makes him a threefold promise and threefold in that threefold. It is completely complete. It's going to happen. And he knew that he'd been in the presence of God. He knew the place was sacred, and he marked it Sometimes we need to find a way to mark those sacred places. They may not be sacred to everybody else, but they're sacred to us. That was one thing he knew to do. And so he set this up and he goes on his way. Praise God. And we could close the Bible there and that'd be a good thing, wouldn't it? But we're going to look at another encounter that he has. So here he is, Jacob, the usurper, the manipulator, I don't even want to know what we want to call him, the politician, and he has paying the price for his honor on his own. But his very first night, God makes him this promises, and he knew it was God, and he worshiped God, and he put an altar there, and he got up and went his way. Short version, he went to Laban's, he got two wives and two handmaidens. He has 11 sons. He becomes rich in herds and flocks. He becomes rich in servants. Yes, he also still was doing it by subterfuge. Yes, he still was doing it in his same old way, wasn't he? God promised him he would bless him, and he blessed him, but Jacob stayed the way he always was. So even though he'd had his... he had all this abundance and had all these things, Jacob was still Jacob. Now we'll flip over real quick to our second encounter that we're going to look at, and that's in Genesis chapter 32. Many of us understand that. We've walked with God. God has blessed us, but there's still a hole in our heart somewhere. We love the Lord. We know the Lord loves us. We're His. But we're still looking for a different change, aren't we? We want a counter of a different kind. He has had one kind of encounter with God, and it was an encounter of blessing. It was an encounter of promise. It was an encounter of assurance that He'd be with him, and He was. But He still was Jacob, the usurper, the manipulator, the wheeler dealer, the used car salesman of the Bible. Okay. Oh, no offense to my used car salesman friends out there. Okay, praise the Lord. Now we're going to look at his second encounter. Remember, we were going to talk about two encounters, and this one of a different kind, not just another encounter. Many of us go, we want an encounter, but we want one just like that other one was, and we don't always understand that there are different kinds of encounters. Genesis chapter 32, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. Oh, that's great. Anyway, so we go on down. Jacob has left. Again, remember he had like leave in the middle of the night from his parents and Esau. Well, not quite the same, but Laban and his sons pursued Jacob because while they were off doing something, Jacob and his two wives took the herds and flocks and wealth that was due them, but they still shuffled off in the middle of the night because Laban was as big a cheat as Jacob was. It's like who could out-con each other. So, but still we see Jacob kind of disappearing in the middle of the night, you know, running out on his eviction notice, I guess. Anyway, so he goes, and now he's coming back the same route he was before, but he came as a young kid. You know, he served at least 14 years. So let's say even if Jacob was 20, you know, he served 14 years for his wives, and then another 7, I believe, for the flocks. So we're talking again, like we talked with, who was it? Joseph, 21 years. He had 22 years going for him, didn't he? And here we have a good 21 years coming back the same route, but still the same kind of man, leaving in the middle of the night, coming with all his wealth. Anyway, so that's what we find in 32. Anyway, the messenger returned to Jacob saying, Esau, your brother is coming to meet you. Now, remember, he left. Now, it was 20-some years ago, but he'd left on bad terms because he'd cheated his brother. And And now Esau's coming, and he thinks, oh, my gosh, he may still have blood in his eye. He may still have, you know, anger and hatred in his heart. That's when we do wrong. It holds us prisoner, doesn't it? He was afraid of Esau because of himself. Anyway, and Esau comes, and his company is going to smite us. So he divides them into two. That becomes significant because, remember, Esau and Jacob were two nations warring. So Jacob does the same thing. He takes his two wives and maidservants, his sons, his flocks, and divides them into two companies. And division and quarrel and fight and enmity, that's what one of the meanings of the number two, enmity was always with him. Okay, we're going to go on down to verse 22. We can't cover everything. Sometime we'll take each one of them by itself. And he rose up that night and took, again, it's nighttime, remember. See these similarities in the events may look the same. The encounters may look the same, but there's some big differences. He rose up that night, took his two wives and his two women servant and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. He went over the brook of Jabbok. He sent everything he owned, all of his acquired wealth. He's been gone for 20-some years, and in the process, he's become a wealthy man and an important man and a man of significance. But it's nighttime. Here he is still running again in the nighttime. And he sends all of that wealth on before him. And it says, over the brook of Jabbok. What does Jabbok mean? Jabbok literally means emptying out. It was the brook that emptied out the water to wherever it was going. But it's significant for us because before Jacob could have this different kind of encounter, he had to empty out some things. Sometimes we're seeking God and we don't understand that we don't have that encounter because we still are full of ourselves. I mean, that's putting it a little bluntly, but we're so stuffed with all that God has done and all that we don't know how to be emptied out. That's part of that thing of being on your face before God or fasting before God. It's not because he's impressed with those things, but we need to learn how to empty ourselves out from all of what we think is important about ourselves. So he took all that wealth that had been acquired over all these years, and he sent them, and he was emptied out. Look at verse 23. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over all he had. And verse 24, I told you it's over the brook of emptying out. Jacob was what? Left alone. So here we have again this mirror image of the other encounter. He was running. It was in the middle of the night, and he was emptied of things. He was all alone. So here we are again, Jacob, verse 24, all alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. I'm not going to get into all of this because I think I look at it just a little bit differently than 95% of the universe. And we'll do that another time by itself. That doesn't really pertain to our looking at the kind of encounter it was. And we understand this to be an angelic being when it says man. He was an agent of the Lord. Verse 25, and when he saw, that is when Jacob saw, he prevailed not against him. That is against the angelic figure. See, I would subtitle this one, the power to prevail. There's the power to be blessed and the power to prevail. Many of us understand how to be blessed, but we don't understand the power to prevail. But he prevailed not. See, so he didn't have the power. The angel touched the hollow of his thigh. Jacob was out of joint. Many of us don't have our thigh out of joint. We have our nose out of joint. Oops. And he wrestled with him. Well, many times we wrestle with God, with the things of God, with the angelic beings. This gives us more of a physical wrestling, but so much of the time we wrestle with the spiritual and the natural, don't we? And finally, the angel said, let me go for the day breaks. And he says, I won't let you go except thou bless me. So we're right back to the same old Jacob, aren't we? Unless you bless me. What did he look for his father? Bless me. I'll bring you this meat. I'll cheat my brother. Bless me. He's left alone. He has this dream, and God comes and he says, I will bless you. So if you know God will bless you and God's already blessed you, why are you continuing to seek blessing? Because there's something you want other than those things he's promised. Amen. And he said, what is thy name? The angel said to him, what is your name? And he said, my name is Jacob. My name is usurper. My name is, we know what his name means. And so before God gave him these fantastic promises about how much land he would own, how much children he would have, how God's presence would always be with him, but he still was seeking a blessing. And the angel said to him, what is your name? Remember, we always talk about name being identity. Even with the government, we may have a number, a social security number. If you work, you have an employee number. But your number has to match your name. Many places we have to, we have to have a picture ID. We have to have facial recognition. It's face and name. Face, name, and voice are what we use for identity. It's who we are. Not what we do, but who we are. Amen? Remember, that's what Isaac said. He said, the hand is the hand of Esau, but the voice is the voice of Jacob. He knew it was Jacob, but he wanted to eat the meat, so he traded off a blessing. Isaac and Laban were pretty similar, weren't they? Isaac was figuring out how he could use his son Jacob. Laban was trying to figure out how he could use his son-in-law Jacob. And so that's all he'd had as role models. Use me and I'll use you. And for a lot of people, that's what they think relationship is. And yet, so he's had encounters with God, but he's still Jacob. He's still the usurper, isn't he? Okay. What is your name? He said, Jacob. Verse 28. And he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. The irony is he never prevailed with wrestling. He never prevailed by saying, give me a blessing. When he said, let me go, and he let him go, and then he said, I will bless you. How did he bless him? He changed his name. He changed his identity. He changed his nature. He changed who he was. Amen. And then he says, now you have power to prevail. You will have power with God and you will have power with men. Let me prove it to you. Let me prove it to you. Verse 33, that Jacob lifted his eyes, look, and behold, Esau came. Now remember, he'd been very, very afraid of Esau. He divided up his family into two camps. He's afraid that Esau's just going to, take him out. Verse 4 in 33, I'm kind of skipping stuff because of time. Esau ran to meet him and did what? Embraced him. Now this was, remember, Esau was the hothead, not Jacob, right? But he ran, and he's the one who's been wronged, not the one who did wrong. He ran to meet him. He embraced him. He fell on his neck. He hugged him, in other words, and kissed him, and they wept. Remember, he divided his family into two camps, the way he and his brother had been divided into two camps. But now he says, now, two things. Your identity is changed. Your nature is changed. Who you are is changed. And you will have power, not just with God, but with man. And immediately, this estrangement with the closest person there was. They weren't just brothers. They had shared the womb together. And they had been so estranged that he was afraid to come back 20-some years that he might be, that his brother may still want to kill him. But when he saw his brother, there was reconciliation. Reconciliation. He embraced him. He hugged him. He kissed him. They wept together. It doesn't say the words, but you can tell all is forgiven. All is forgotten. It's more important for me to have my brother than what has happened. And then look at it, not just so you think, oh, well, then Esau forgave. What happened was Jacob tries to give him all these, give him his flocks and his herds. You know, these are the children that God have given me, and God has given me, not that I've gotten on my own. See, again, that change of language. And Leah and her sons came, and what does this mean, all you drove? He said, I want to give these to you, what, to find grace in your sight? What? My Lord. Here he is calling Esau. Not only did he reconcile with him, but he is acknowledging, whether I took it or I didn't take it, you are the elder brother. You are the elder brother and deserve respect. We don't understand it in these cultures, African cultures and other cultures. It's really far more easily understandable. The younger brother may be more blessed by God, but the elder brother is still the elder brother. And so he calls him my Lord. He had spent years trying to steal everything from Esau. He tried to steal everything from Laban. But at the end of the day, he has had a change. His name is no longer Jacob, the manipulator, the thief. That's actually one of the usurper or thief. He's stolen position, and yet now his name is Israel. You have the power to prevail. What power did he have? He had the power to acknowledge where he had been wrong. Oh, my goodness. He didn't defend what he had done stealing from Esau. He said, you are my Lord. Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep what you have. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight. He is seeking not just reconciliation, but forgiveness. So many of us want reconciliation without forgiveness. You cannot be reconciled to God unless you acknowledge you've been wrong. Well, that's often true with people. We want people to forgive us. We want to be in their quote-unquote good graces, but not until we admit where we have wronged them often is that easy to have happen. But so here we see the change. So here we see the change that occurs in him. He is no longer that old thief, that old manipulator. It came to him. It maybe took him 20 years. Maybe took him a second encounter with God. His first encounter with God was a promise of all the wealth and the abundance. But that did not make him at peace with himself or with others. Look at what he continues to say. We're in verse 10 of 33. Jacob says, nay, I pray thee, now I have found grace in thy sight, that's of his brother, then receive my present at thy hand, for therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. So he's looking for peace with God and peace with man, knowing he can't have peace with God until he makes it right with his brother. Little did he know that his brother obviously had been ready to have it right all along, didn't he? Because he met him and immediately embraced him. How many times we live in a prison of unforgiveness? We assume somebody else can't forgive us, and so we live in that prison. Anyway, even though he'd had tons of wealth and abundance, what he really wanted, the real blessing from God, was to have a change of nature, to not just be out looking for himself, looking to get that at any cost. Stealing from his father, stealing from his brother, stealing from his father-in-law. In essence, also stealing from his wives, because the inheritance should have been theirs. He was a man that was intent on getting things in a crooked way, but he had a new encounter. He had an encounter of a different kind with God that changed his nature, that made him a prince. He had the power to prevail. And the power to prevail doesn't mean the power to get more, does it? We see here two encounters for Jacob. The first encounter, he saw the gates of heaven. He saw the heavens open up. He saw the Lord standing there. And yet he walked away from that. He even said, the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He had seen the very entrance into heaven and yet walked away unchanged. How many times did that happen to us or to people we know? They can be in church or anywhere. It doesn't have to be church. And they will literally see an entrance into heaven. They will literally see the face of God, and they will walk away unchanged. They know something happened, but they themselves have no change. Amen. But this time, he had an encounter with God of a different kind, heteros, not just another one of the same kind where he was blessed and blessed and blessed, but a different kind where he was changed. If we could ask God anything, instead of asking God for riches or healing or anything, I would ask God to be changed, to be of a nature more like him, to take away those things that set up differences between me and other people, that set up estrangements in relationships, that set up me against people instead of me with people and for people. I just get excited about this, that there are different kinds of encounters. And even though Jacob had had encounters before, this encounter was different. It was an encounter of a different kind. May God bless you this week. Let us have a word of prayer. God, give us an encounter with you, but not just an encounter to increase us, but an encounter to change us, an encounter that we may be different, that we may be better, that we may have seen you and walk away changed. In Jesus' name, have a great week. Looking forward to being with you again. Amen.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Myth, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Parkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Myth airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on-demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Midst, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him